Matthew chapter 6, look if you would, starting at verse 27 tonight. Matthew chapter 6, verse 27. It says, Jesus says, "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Now tonight, I want to, we've been looking at Matthew chapter 5 and then Matthew chapter 6. We looked at, you know, what the Lord talked about, how the rules for giving alms and how we should pray and how, you know, the fasting and how important fasting is and the rules of that. And up until this point, even though I'm not really teaching the book of Matthew, but up to this point, the Lord is pretty much telling everybody that what you do for the glory of God. But here, he starts to talk about, not taking thought for tomorrow. Really, if you want to know what the subject is here, it's about worry. We ought not worry. Amen? And even he says right here, it says in verse 30, he says, "Wherefore, if God has so clothed the grass of the field and today and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" If you really want to know what worry is, it's a lack of faith. I mean, when you worry, either you think that God can handle the situation or you think that he won't handle the situation. I mean, it's one of the two. And so even though we all are guilty of worrying from time to time, it's something that we shouldn't do. And something else that we shouldn't do, and we do it a lot, is sometimes we borrow troubles from tomorrow and try to apply it to today. Sometimes we do that. And so tonight I want to kind of talk to you on the subject of borrowing trouble. And so many people like to do that. Sometimes we look at, you know, tomorrow, we look at next week, and we begin to worry about what's going to happen next week, and we begin to worry today about it, when next week hadn't even come yet. I mean, think about this. Next week may never come for some people in this room. Amen? But yet we worry about what's going to happen. Now, the Bible says here, take no thought for the morrow. Now, it's not saying that we shouldn't make plans for tomorrow. The Bible does not teach that you should not make plans for tomorrow. We should do that. In fact, the Lord said in Luke 14:28, he says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it?" Now, that right there teaches that we can make plans for tomorrow. However, we need to understand is if the Lord wills, tomorrow will happen. Amen? Now, we can make plans, but we don't know for sure those plans are going to come about because it may not be the will of the Lord. The will of the Lord may be to take us home before you know our plans are filled out. And so the Bible is not against us thinking out things and planning things. And when the Bible uses the phrase, take no thought, it doesn't mean that we are to not plan. It means that we are not to worry. Now notice the Bible speaks about the evil of today. It says in Matthew 6:34, it says, "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." It's talking about the difficulties that come with every day. I think we can all agree tonight that every day has its difficulties one way or the other. Amen? Right. I mean, either you sometimes wake up and you may not feel very well, or maybe some things will go wrong that you didn't expect, or maybe some things go wrong that you did expect. But those are difficulties. Those are evil, the evils of that day. And every day has its difficulties. And, you know, and God, you know, if you think about it, God has always promised that he would get you through those difficulties, but never promised that he would ever take those difficulties away. But he did say he'd get you through them. He did say that he would never leave your side. But, you know, the thing about it is we pray that there will be no difficulties. You know, one of these days when we get to heaven, there will be no more difficulties. Amen? Amen. But as long as we're on this earth where there's sin, there's always going to be difficulties. But God wants to help us get through those difficulties. And you say, well, why are there difficulties? Well, because difficulties serve a purpose. I mean, if you think about it, the difficulties that we go through every day, whether they be small or great, they all serve a purpose. And one of those purposes is that difficulties are used to silence the devil. Remember when Satan talked to God about Job in Job chapter 1, and the devil said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." That's what the devil said about Job. He says, if you take everything away from him, and you get him to where you hurt him, he'll curse you. He'll do that. Now, when you look at the book of Job, Job had some difficulties. I mean, he had some serious difficulties. But you know, he never did curse God. And I'll tell you what that did. That silenced the devil. You see, when he went through it, you know, he gave God the glory. When Job went through it, he says, well, you know, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so that's how he reacted. And it proved the devil to be wrong. It silenced the devil. And I'll tell you something. Whenever you're in the midst of difficulties and you praise God during those difficulties, you're going to silence the devil when you do that. Another purpose for difficulties in this life is it helps build the believer. You know, we're strengthened by difficulties. You know, it's been said that you can't sharpen an axe with a pound of butter. You've got to use a stone. Amen? And, you know, God uses difficulties to build up our patience, to build up our sympathy and our endurance and our humility. That's what he uses those difficulties for. God has a purpose in those difficulties. And if you think about it, even back in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and God came and said unto Adam and Eve, he said a very remarkable thing. He talked about the curse that was going to be put upon the ground and how it'd bring thorns and thistles. You know, every time we grow a garden, every time we plant flowers out there, we always see the curse of the earth because all those weeds come up, you know. But here's what God said. He said, cursed is the ground. And he looks at Adam, he says, for thy sake. Curse the ground for thy sake. In other words, he says, Adam, I'm not doing this as, you know, I'm going to curse the ground, but it's for your sake. You know, the worst thing that could have happened with Adam and Eve would have been this, and that is for them to live in a sinful world without difficulties. See, you see, if they'd have been living in a sinful world, they would have never known anything was wrong if there were never any difficulties. But you know, there are difficulties in this world, and with those difficulties make us see that we have a need for the Lord. And I'll tell you something, when the Lord said, curse the ground for thy sake, God allowed our world and he allowed daily difficulties in our world, and God was doing it for our sake to tell sinful man that there's something wrong in this universe. Hey, listen, when we live in this world today and you see death and you see starvation and you see crime and you see people doing wicked things, you get the idea that there's something wrong in this world, amen? But listen, if none of us ever had to face those things, we'd be walking, basically, just living our lives waiting to go to hell without any idea that there's anything wrong. But God allowed difficulties to come in to show us that there's sin in this world and that we're all sinners and we've all come short of the glory of God and we need a Savior. And so for saved people, those difficulties are to keep us looking at the Savior in the time of need. Another purpose for those difficulties that we go through every day is that those difficulties can, if we allow them, bring glory to God. Difficulties glorify God as he delivers us through those difficulties. Remember back when Lazarus was sick, and the disciples came to him and said, Master, the one that you love is sick. Jesus responded in John chapter 11, verse 4, and here's what he said. Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. In other words, God had a purpose in allowing Lazarus to die. When they said, hey, you know, Lazarus is sick, he's dying, we need to go over there. Notice the Lord didn't just jump up and go. He waited. And then all of a sudden, when he get there, everybody says, well, how come he didn't get here sooner? You know, you could have saved him. You could have done all these things. Hey, listen, the Lord had a purpose in this because he knew that he was going to go over there and raise Lazarus from the dead as a sign to prove that he was God. He had a purpose in it. And so God brought glory to himself. The Lord brought glory to himself by raising Lazarus from the dead. And so the difficulties that we have serve a purpose. And every day we have this measure of difficulties and trouble in our lives. And don't think for a second that just because you're a Christian and just because you've given your heart to Jesus Christ that you're not going to have difficulties in this life. You are going to have difficulties. And I'm just going to tell you, they're not going to stop and they're probably going to get worse the older you get. Amen. Ready to go home now? Now that you got the good news. But I'll tell you this, you will have difficulties, but you need to remember something about those difficulties, and that is those difficulties for tomorrow are not for today. They're not for today. It's a huge mistake to try to bring tomorrow's difficulties and dump them into today. And really, that's what I want to speak to you tonight about, is borrowing trouble from the future for today. And I want to mention basically three things that we do when we start to borrow trouble. Number one, when we borrow trouble from tomorrow, we end up covering up God's blessings. When we borrow trouble from tomorrow, we end up covering up God's blessings. You know, when you bring the fears of the future and potential problems of tomorrow into today, those things will put a shade on the blessings that God has given us for today. You know, what we should do every day is when we wake up, we should count our blessings. Amen. You know, we like to sing that song, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. And sometimes we only wait till Thanksgiving to do that. But the truth of the matter is we should be counting our blessings every day. We should be thinking about the things that we're thankful for that God has blessed us with every day. You know, when we wake up, you know, it's a good thing to say, hey, you know what? I can still see, I can still hear, I can still walk. And thank God for that. That's a blessing. When you look around and you see your kids and your grandkids, that's a blessing. You know, I'll tell you this. Sometimes we look out there and supposed to call for snow again tonight. We sometimes get upset about that. We start to worry if it's actually going to snow. But you know what? It may not be a blessing today to you, but come about August or September, it's going to be a blessing. Amen. And I'll tell you something else too. The ranchers and farmers aren't having a problem with it either. You know, it's more moisture. And the bottom line is this. We have a lot of things to thank God for. We get a lot of blessings every day. But when we start to bring in the worries of tomorrow, then we start to think about that, then we're no longer thinking about the blessings that we've been getting. We no longer think about the blessings the Lord has given us because we're worrying about tomorrow. In other words, we borrow tomorrow's trouble and it starts to overshadow the blessings that God has given us. And I'll tell you something, a person could be such a pessimist and such a worry wart, and we can focus on difficulties so much and imaginary difficulties that we focus so much on these difficulties that we forget to focus on the blessings that God has given us. Now, if God were just to give you blessings and no difficulties, well, that wouldn't be good. If all you got was blessings and no difficulties, it's been said that all sunshine and no rain makes a desert. Amen? But at the same time, if God gave you all difficulties and no blessing, well, that wouldn't be good either because, I mean, after all, no all rain and no sunshine makes for a swamp. So God has made this thing to where it's perfectly balanced. Now, when we get to heaven and we have, you know, when we get our perfect bodies and there's no sin, then there doesn't have to be a balance anymore because everything is absolutely pure. But here on this earth, it's not. And so God gives us blessings and God allows us to have difficulties. God gives us strength and he allows difficulty in our life and he helps us to get through those things. And it's balanced. But what we want is we want things the way we want them. We want no difficulties and all blessings. Well, that wouldn't work. That wouldn't work. And so God gives us the blessings and he gives difficulties and balance. And just like rain and sunshine in a perfect balance makes for a great garden and we produce fruit. But when you borrow trouble and you try to cover up God's blessings, and you aren't able to see the blessings God has given you because you're overloading the burden side of your life. And some people just can't enjoy life because they're always anticipating something that's going to happen. You ever met somebody that they look out in the future and they're always trying to anticipate the worst? I mean, they are the pessimistic one. You say, boy, it sure is a beautiful day out there. It's sunshine. Well, you say, well, I hope it don't stay around too long because we need rain. And then when it starts to rain, you're like, boy, you know, it's rain all the time. I wish we had sunshine, you know. And it just seems like some people just always anticipate the worst. You know, they'll say, you know, I'll give you an example. My mother is one of those people that always anticipates the worst. She will actually say, I've actually heard her say this. She'll say, boy, everything's going good today. I wonder what, something bad must be on the way. Amen? Or if you do something nice for her, she'll say, thanks. What do you want? Yeah? You know, she's always anticipating the worst. In other words, she just can't take the blessing for what it is. She just can't stop and smell the roses sometimes. There's always got to be something bad coming after it. In other words, she's always anticipating the worst. And sometimes people do that. But I'll tell you something. A worry doesn't take the sorrow out of tomorrow. It only takes the joy out of today. And that's the reason Jesus said, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. You have a lot of blessings given to you today. Everybody in this room does. And sure, you may have some difficulties today as well, but you don't need to borrow more difficulties from tomorrow, because all they're going to do is cover up the blessings that you're getting today. And it keeps us from seeing the goodness of God, who daily loadeth us with benefits. But not only does it cover up blessings, another thing it'll do is it will diminish your strength. If you start borrowing the troubles from tomorrow and thinking about those troubles today and worrying about those troubles today, it will diminish your strength. You see, with every burden, God gives you strength. Every day has its fair measure of difficulty. But along with that difficulty, God gives you strength for those difficulties. He gives you strength to meet today's problems, and He doesn't give you any more. God doesn't give you strength for yesterday, and He doesn't give you strength for tomorrow. He gives you strength for today. Here's what Deuteronomy 33:25 says. It says, thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Now remember, when the Bible says here in our text, sufficient is a day is the evil thereof, that is, God gives you a sufficient amount of evil for every day. In other words, there's a certain amount of difficulties the Lord's going to allow in your life every day. And God knows exactly how much is sufficient for each and every one of us. But the same God who gave you, who allow these difficulties come in your life, is the same God who gives you strength for those difficulties. If you will use His strength, He'll give you strength for those difficulties. And so as our days are, so shall your strength be. So there's a delicate balance there too. God knows how much difficulties you need. God knows how much strength you need to get through those difficulties. Now if you go and add the difficulties, you're not going to have enough strength to meet those needs. If you start to overbalance, if you start to start dragging in the things that are going to happen tomorrow, how are you going to be able to handle those things? For one thing, you're asking for strength on something that hasn't even happened yet. That's what we do. Because God gives you strength for today, you know, He doesn't give you strength for tomorrow. Psalm 103:14 says, for He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. He knoweth our frame. You know, when they make a truck, you know, when the manufacturer makes a truck, they make that frame where it'll take a certain amount of weight. That's the reason you have half-ton trucks, and you got three-quarter-ton trucks, and you got one-ton trucks. Because based on the frame, that's how much payload that they can carry. Now, if you take more than what they can carry and you put in that truck, you're gonna hurt that truck. You know, if you take a ton and a half and put in a half-ton truck, you know, if at the very least, you're going to make that thing just almost drag to ground. Amen? Because the frame isn't built to take that. And so the manufacturer makes sure that you know that frame of the truck, so that you won't overload it. Because if you overload it, you're going to break it. And you, may I tell you here, it says, for He knoweth our frame. He knows exactly what we can take. Per day, He knows exactly what we can take. But when you borrow trouble, you start to overload your frame. When you start to take on the worries of tomorrow, God has already said, today sufficient is the evil thereof. In other words, today He knows exactly what you can take today. And you start to borrow tomorrow's troubles and putting on top of it, that's putting more on you than what you can bear. God never expects you to worry about tomorrow. He expects you to take on today's difficulties with His strength. And that's how He wants us to live. But so many of us today, we take on today's difficulties. And sometimes we take it on in our own strength, which is ridiculous. But sometimes we take on today's difficulties with the Lord's strength. But then we like to pile on what might happen tomorrow or what might happen next week. And we pile all that on. The Bible says, sufficient in the day is the evil thereof. And as your days are, so shall your strength be. God has promised skies always blue, treasure shown pathways all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, faith for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. That's what the Lord has promised. Worry takes energy, and it doesn't do any good. Back in verse 27, our opening text, Jesus said, "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to a stature?" You know, in other words, worry doesn't change the situation at all. It doesn't make it any better. Worry never solved a problem. You ever think about that? Worry has never solved a problem. Worry has never dried a tear. Worry has never lifted a burden. Therefore, worrying is just, it's useless. And it's a sin. You say, how in the world is it a sin? Because that which is not of faith does not please God. And when you're worrying, it's a lack of faith. Rather than worrying, we should say, you know what? The Lord's just going to take care of it. Lord, just take care of it. You know, sometimes we like to worry about things. Did you know that there are two things that you should never worry about? Those things that you can do something about. And that's one thing that you should never worry about, is those things that you can do something about. And the other thing you should never worry about are those things that you can't do anything about. You say, well, why is that? Because if you can do something about it, then do it. Amen? Amen. But if you can't do anything about it, then what's worrying about it going to do? Right? Well, now, listen, if we shouldn't worry about the things that we can do something about, and we shouldn't worry about those things that we can't do anything about, is there anything else left to worry about? There's nothing left. For every evil under the sun, either there is a cure or there is none. If there be one, seek till you find it. If there be none, never mind it. Amen. Jesus is saying worry doesn't do any good at all. So the first thing borrowing trouble from tomorrow does is it covers up the blessings of God that God has given us. The second thing it does is it will diminish our strength. And then the third thing it does is worrying will sometimes produce problems. It'll produce problems. Did you know that the very thing that you worry about happening may actually happen because you worried about it? Yeah. In fact, turn over to Job chapter 3. Job chapter 3. Job mentions this very thing. Job mentions something that he worried about actually came to pass. Job chapter 3. Job chapter 3, look at verse 23. Job 3:23 says, "Why is light given to a man whose way is hid, and whom God hath hedged in? For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." Do you know you can worry yourself into problems, into having problems? You know, there are a lot of people today that have high blood pressure because they worry too much. There are people today who break out into hives because they worry too much. When we worry so much about things like that, we bring, you know, stuff upon us that we would have never done. It actually adds to our problems. You know, one philosopher said, "My life has been so full of terrible misfortunes, my life has been full of terrible misfortunes, most of which have never happened." And that's what it weighs with us. We worry about things, and then those things never happen. Do you realize that most of the things that you worry about never happen? They never happen the way that you worry about them happening. Amen. And so, sometimes we just expect the worst. Though, so here about a week ago, I got behind a driver. And, preachers are just impatient. That's where the Lord really works on us when it comes to driving. Amen. But I got behind a guy, and he was coming up the red light. You know, and sometimes if you're going up Central, if you get the timing just right, you can make it all the way through that thing. Amen. Now, I learned that a long time ago as a pizza delivery driver. Make sure you know when those lights are going to turn, because if you do, you can zip right through those things. Well, I got behind somebody, and I was like, oh, yes, that light just turned green. So that means every one of them will just turn green when we get there. And this guy, even when the light was green, he'd slow down, expecting it to turn red. And he did that at every single light. And when he got to the last one, he slowed down, expecting it to turn red. You know what happened? It turned red. And I'm thinking, if you had just went, we would have all made it through here. But you start anticipating this thing turning red. And may I tell you, sometimes when we try to borrow trouble from tomorrow, sometimes we get to the point where we're expecting the worst. And sometimes we bring the worst upon ourselves because of it. And that's kind of what we do. You know, let me close by saying this. And that is, you know, it says here, Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow. We shouldn't. We shouldn't worry about tomorrow. Why? Because you have no control over tomorrow. Number two, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but God does. Doesn't it make sense, rather than worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow, just turn it over to one who can see tomorrow? The one who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? Hey, listen, if we are just, we are the strange, we're crazy people, you know that? If there were somebody here today who you thought, let's say, if you thought for a second that I could tell you without a doubt what will happen tomorrow. Now, we know that can't happen. We know that the palm readers they're a bunch of fakes. We know that. And we know the ones that read the crystal ball, they're a bunch of fakes. We know that. But let's just say, for argument's sake, that I could actually read a crystal ball, and you say, what's going to happen tomorrow? And I like roll that thing around, and I say, well, you're going to wake up tomorrow at 9 o'clock, and or maybe earlier, and then when you get up, you're going to go to work, and this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And you say, well, now is anything bad going to happen? I say, oh no, everything's going to be great. You know what you do? You get up tomorrow, and it's like, not a worry in the world, right? But I can't see tomorrow. I'm a fake. But you believe me. But we won't believe God. When God says, take no thought for tomorrow, don't worry about it. I've got this thing. Why do we worry? Why do we worry about anything? Again, you've heard me say it before, we will trust God with our very souls. If you're saved here tonight, you know what you're doing? You know what you're saying is I have put my trust in Jesus Christ to get me to heaven. Amen. His shed blood. And if he can't get me there, I'm not going. And we put our absolute trust in him for our souls, but then we start worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow and next week. Why wouldn't we trust the same Lord that we trust with our souls? Trust him to take care of next week. Now notice here he says this. He says, take no thought for tomorrow. But you know, that's in verse 34. But you know, until you apply verse 33, you really can't apply verse 34. Because in verse 33 it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, when we put God first, that's when he's going to take care of our tomorrows. If we'll put God first. God says, if you'll just seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. What things is he talking about? Well, in the context, he's talking about necessities. Food, clothing, health, whatever it is you need. God says, I'll take care of every one of your needs if you'll seek the kingdom of God first. I'll take care of every one of those things. Well, now listen, if you're seeking the kingdom of God and you're seeking to please God and you're living for him and you're saved, then what in the world are you worrying about? Amen? There's no reason for you to worry. Why? Because my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. But you must seek God first. The question is tonight, have you turned everything over to him, including your tomorrows? That's the only way you can live, but Matthew 6:34. Take no thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow should take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. He promised that he'll never leave us or nor forsake us. So we need to stop worrying about tomorrow. And we need to stop facing the future with fear. And we need to start living today and enjoy the blessings that we have today and know that we have strength sufficient to take on the burdens that we have for today and just trust God when it comes to tomorrow. That's how we need to live, folks. And if we'll do that, I'll tell you this, we'll live a whole lot happier lives and we'll be pleasing God even more while we're doing it. Amen? Amen. Take no thought for tomorrow will take thought of the things of self. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.